5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel. I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
It's all about the macro productions.
What does the goddamn line say, Tony?
Please do not use gendered language.
Then what? I'll be arrested, put in airport jail.
Well, you're going completely sideways, man.
It's a big club, and you ain't in it.
How dare you?
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
I'm Chris Hansen with Dave on NBC.
Jack Mary's Tech Theratrix.
Hi, I'm Spartacus.
Steve Jackson, Sacramento, he, him.
Steven Seagal.
Sex offender guy.
I'm Keith Morris.
This is Muammar Gaddafi.
I'm Rick James, bitch.
Sorting through the lies.
The hijacker's passport was found blocks from the World Trade Center crash site, if you can believe that.
We cannot track $2.3 trillion in transactions.
And uncovering the centuries-long plan for world domination.
Learning about Cuba, having some food.
Let's talk about Chinese people.
Have you ever been in a Turkish prison?
I have
a
I have sent six of my Libyan missiles to blow up the Sears hardware department.
Nothing could be more fun than jumping off a cliff with two German bisexuals.
Oh, you English are so superior, aren't you?
Thank you, comrade.
And now, macroaggressions.
That's what assholes call it.
With your host.
Buddy, I don't know who you are, but you're about to get chlamydia.
Charlie Robinson.
Hey, Whitey, where's your hat?
You want to drop the blame on Charlie and say it's all Charlie's fault.
He was a retard.
I get some goddamn diuretic.
Welcome to Macroaggressions. I'm your host, Charlie Robinson. If you are watching us on Rockfin or Rumble, or you're listening wherever podcasts are served, thanks a million. We appreciate the support. If you haven't rated the show yet, we would appreciate a five-star review if you think we've earned it. Also, you can connect with us through the website, macroaggressions.io. Thank you to the sponsors. help make this show happen. EMP Shield is building a shielding device that'll work on your home, on your car, on your motorhome or boat. If you've got one of those, maybe you have a generator, you can attach it to all of those things with just four wires. It's installs like a type 2 surge protector. You can do it yourself. But I'll tell you what, man, we are getting into some weird times. And I'm not trying to, you know, speak this stuff into existence, but, you know, we've seen all kinds of nonsense happening. And, you know, this will protect you against lightning, which is a very reasonable thing to prepare against, but also solar flares, which may or may not happen. And let's not count out EMP strikes. Now, I hope it doesn't happen. We'll all be living like the Flintstones in our cars if it does. So, not the people that have EMP Shield. If you're interested, go to EMPShield.com, read up about it, see what you think. They're building the best device out there. It's many times more efficient than a single-use military design one. It's fantastic. Go to EMPShield.com. If you do find something you like, the discount code on your way out is Macro. And also, big thanks to Christian Yordanov, my certified health practitioner, who is a sponsor of the show as well. If you're feeling bad, you'd give anything to feel better. There's nothing worse than feeling shitty. And if you're interested to find out what's going on under the hood, Christian might be somebody that you'd want to talk to. You can set up a consultation with him for like 30 minutes, just talk to him about your situation, no charge. Go to my website, macroaggressions.io, and in the partners page, you'll find the link for Christian, or just scroll down into the show notes of this episode. You'll find the link to his workshop. He can help you out. I've been on the program now for over a year. I feel fantastic. I did it when I turned 50. I wanted to see what my baseline levels were. Christian did that. We found out where I was good. We didn't have to focus on that. We found out where I was deficient. We aimed targeted our approach towards that. I feel great. I've got him working on my mom, trying to help her out with her situation. So look, it's worth considering. Take a look. Just click the link in the description. Go check out Christian's his workshop and see if it's a fit for you. And you can, of course, check out the previous episodes where I've had Christian on where we've discussed this. He's an author. He's written books about this. I ditched the Western medicine a long time ago. You probably feel the same way about it. It's not to be trusted. So if you're looking for somebody else to speak with about your health, consider checking out Christian Yordanov. Oh boy, this one's going to be fun. You probably can tell by the title of it that it's going to be about our new Lord and Savior, Kamala Harris. And for those of you just listening, you're unable to notice that I have a yellow shirt on, and I wore a yellow shirt specifically in honor of electric yellow school buses because I knew we were going to be talking about the dumbest person in all of politics. And that's saying something. That's really saying something right here. But Kamala Harris might be the dumbest person we've ever seen in politics, and she might also be the president. America, baby. Love it or leave it, right? How do I leave it? Listen, on top of being the president, this should come without saying, she's also going to have the nuclear codes. Okay, I want to repeat that so that we're clear. Kamala Harris might have the nuclear codes. Okay, so I hope she doesn't feel too burdened with that, because you know she's all about unburdening herself from what is and what was and what may have been and what could have not been and what may have actually been. Right. We're going to talk a little bit about her history, and it's fucking wild. Okay. And then we're going to get into her current situation, and it's not much better. I got news for you. So I want to say something here before we get going. For all you people that are saying, you're punching down on a woman of color who's, I don't care. I don't give a shit at all. I have, you insert yourself into this situation, you're a target. You're open for ridicule and discussion. And there is plenty to ridicule about Kamala Harris. I won't be making up a single thing about her here. I don't have to. Not that I would anyway, because I'm intellectually honest, unlike the left who make up things left, right, and center. The thing is that I don't need to. In fact, I can't be funny enough to make up the sort of shit that Kamala Harris has actually been involved in. So I'm not going to apologize to beating up proverbially on a woman of color who is stunning and brave, of course, and maybe a little bit mentally deficient. The time for mercy has long passed. You've inserted yourself into this race and you have aligned yourself with dark forces. So whatever you get. And frankly, it's not going to be enough. And when you get on a debate stage with Donald Trump, it's going to be like watching Mortal Kombat, right? He's going to just reach across and rip her spine out of her body. It's going to be great. I have no love for Donald Trump, but I mean, he's good in debates and he's funny in debates. And she's really slow on her feet because she's incredibly dumb and she's horrible in debates. So you've got that combination and it's going to be like, it's going to be can't miss television, right? So, I say that Kamala is the dumbest person in politics. I want to also acknowledge that there's some runners up, like Brandon Johnson, the mayor of Chicago, and Eric Adams, the mayor of New York City, and you know, the people like that. That these people are criminally dumb and despised by the people that have worked under them. But that's also a common theme with Kamala. We're going to wrap up with what's going on in Kamala's office, and to call it a mutiny would be a disservice to pirates, you know. But and I mean, again, it is tough. You do have to consider Eric Adams on this list. I mean, I might give him like the silver medal, maybe the bronze medal. I think Brandon Johnson's dumber than Eric Adams. Maybe we'll have a spelling bee. After all, Eric Adams did recently take credit for inventing trash cans in New York City. So that's the sort of dumb that I really don't know if you can measure that in some sort of aptitude test. But Eric Adams is off the charts as being a big dummy. You know, I think he might be onto something here. He is unburdened by deep thoughts, just like Kamala. I don't know if you've ever listened to any of his speeches, but in some ways, if you think about it, Kamala Harris is actually kind of the perfect encapsulation of the Democratic Party. She's a fake African American. She's actually Jamaican and Indian, right? But she pretends to be black. She does the equivalent of Hillary Clinton taking hot sauce to her. You know, morning shows with black radio hosts, you know, oh, I just carry my hot sauce in my purse. I mean, she's a grifter and a huckster. And if this were 200 years ago, she'd be selling snake oil at a fucking carnival somewhere. So she's perfect to represent the Democratic Party. Not a thought in her. If a thought entered Kamala Harris's head, it would die of loneliness. Okay. And, you know, and she comes out of that San Francisco system, the Pelosi system, the Newsom, Getty oil money system. And so she's got a long history of failure in everything that she's been involved with. There's been massive controversies. She's unqualified to hold any position. She's unqualified to be the assistant dog catcher of a small town in America. She's certainly not qualified to be the president of the fucking United States of America. I mean, this is a job that usually requires some level of experience and skill. She has none. It requires some level of intellectual horsepower. She's running out. Okay. She's an electric vehicle that hasn't been recharged. She's just dumb. And it would be one thing if she was just a dumb person on TV. She'd be on The View, or she'd be on CNN. You just go, oh, there's another dummy talking about politics. But like I said, she'll have the suitcase. And that just can never happen, right? Let's talk about her personal life, because it's fair game. When you run to become the president of the United States, your personal life is fair game. And her personal life is a fucking mess, okay? Let's talk about her beta husband. She's married to a man named Doug Emhoff. He is a Jewish lawyer, that's important, by the way, who worked at Deep State Connected DLA Piper law firm. And this law firm was the 12th largest contributor to Barack Obama's reelection campaign in 2012. In fact, this law firm is so woke that 73% of their campaign contributions skew Democrats from the people inside. So there's definitely an agenda going on there within this law firm. Now, he is, Doug Emhoff, is a professor at Georgetown, which is a deep state university, and he was married once before. He was married in 1992. He has two kids. He seems gay to me. I wouldn't be surprised if he was a beard. He's the second gentleman. Just saying second gentleman sounds beta as fuck. I mean, there's nothing more beta than saying, who's the second gentleman? And I get it. It's like you could be supportive. I mean, I'd be supportive of my wife too. And they'd call me the second gentleman. And I'd say, don't ever do that. Like, please don't ever use that. It sounds so dumb. But then again, if you watch him, he's a limp-wristed beta. That's what he is. He's a soy boy. And this is from him. This is Doug Imhoff. As American Jews, I think the feeling is one of aloneness and being hated. We saw who our friends were and who they were not, Doug Imhoff. Hey, maybe try not genociding people and then the public won't hate you as much. Have you tried that? Have you tried not dropping bombs on civilians? And maybe try that, Doug. Oh, we're alone and hated. Stop doing things that are rightly hated by the general public, Doug. Have you guys ever considered doing that? No, you just complain how you're so, everybody's out to get me. You're a protected class. The Jews in America are a protected class. Doug Imhoff crying that about being hated is fucking laughable. I mean, they're hated by a vast majority of the people inside America now after what they've done in the aftermath of October 7th. And they should be for their actions. It's reprehensible. So I'm not really interested in what Doug Imhoff has to say. Now, Kamala Harris, when Netanyahu showed up, Kamala Harris said, I'm not going to meet with him. I'm not going to meet with Benjamin Netanyahu. Ooh, stunning and brave. You're taking a stand here. You're a Zionist too, though. That's the thing. Kamala Harris is a Zionist. So is Doug Imhoff. They're on board with Team Israel. But she's playing a role. And the role is, I'm going to stand up to Bibi because the hardcore left thinks that he's terrible because they're pro-Palestine. It's the only thing in the world I agree with them on, but not the way that they express themselves about it, of course, because it's always stupid. But the Palestinian component is something that should be talked about. But we're not allowed to talk about that anymore, right? They'll throw you off of, they'll round you up at UCLA and USC if you're having protests in favor of the Palestinians. But if you are supporting Black Lives Matter, you can burn down Minneapolis and nobody cares, right? But that this is all part of the hypocrisy of the left, which knows no bounds. I mean, the right has their flavor of hypocrisy too, but it's nothing like the left. The left is stunning in their audacity. Let's talk a little bit about, well, listen, from Willie Brown to Geraldo Rivera to Doug Imhoff is quite a path, I would say. Do you guys know about Geraldo Rivera? Do you know why I threw that one in there? Oh, if this is the first time you're hearing about Kamala Harris's relationship with Geraldo Rivera, well, let me tell you, I mean, it's been in there. I mean, everybody knows about that, right? No. So this is the thing. I mean, Kamala has been, she's been a mess for a while. She owes her career to Willie Brown. He was the Speaker of the California State Assembly. Half of his 30-year run was in, half of his 30-year run in the Assembly, he was the Speaker. He did 30 years in the California Assembly. And then 30 years in the Assembly, half of which he was the Speaker of it. So he was in charge of it. When you're in charge of it, you get to do all kinds of things, like you get to nominate people and bring them in and do some things like that, right? So he did that. And then he was also the mayor. He was the mayor of San Francisco for 8 years until he handed that role over to scumbag Gavin Newsom in 2004. Back when Slick Willie Brown was the Speaker of California, he was, back in 1993, he was 60 years old. Kamala Harris was 28 years old. And Kamala Harris was sleeping with Willie Brown, the married mayor of San Francisco, so that she could move up the rankings. By the way, I said Geraldo. I meant Montel, but I think you guys know what I'm talking about. So again, I'm not gonna hang sleeping with your boss on Kamala as her being the only person in the world that has done something like that. It gets done quite a bit. It's disgusting and weird, but you know, she's not the first. She's not pioneering anything here, but it is pretty disgusting, of course. And Willie Brown got his mistress a job, right? He named Kamala to the California Medical Assistance Commission. And he paid her a salary of $70,000. This is in the early 90s, back when $70,000 would actually get you something. Back before San Francisco went through all that tech boom where you could probably still live there if you wanted to. So she starts, she gets her foot in the door. She got her knees in the door, I should say, with Willie Brown. Got in there. Then Brown named Kamala to the California Unemployment Insurance Appeals Board and paid her $97,000. So she went from $70,000 to $97,000. So interesting, you know, I mean, I guess if you just can pick whoever you want to be on this board, you pick your friends or you pick the people that you're cheating on your wife with, right? I mean, that's reasonable. Oh, by the way, do you remember 9/11, the stories of high-ranking government officials getting phone calls the night before telling them not to travel, if they're the ones that had flights, you know, intercontinental flights, you know, from New York to LA or New York to San Francisco or whatever. A lot of them got phone calls saying, hey, man, don't get on that flight. Willie Brown was one of those guys, just so you know. He's, you know, listen, when you're somebody that gets a heads up that 9/11 is happening, and you've been in California State Assembly for 30 years, and you've been the mayor of San Francisco for 8 years, you're in. You're in that crew. They don't call you and me to tell you don't get on the flight, right? But they do let Willie Brown know. So Kamala rightly identified where her path to power was, and it resided in the pants of Willie Brown. And so she rode that as hard as she could, all the way to, Willie Brown has been under investigation by the FBI for corruption and is thought to be an FBI informant too. So he's a rat on top of being a cheater, on top of being a liar, on top of being everything else that comes along with being Willie Brown, the former mayor of San Francisco. Yeah, so once Kamala got her knee pads in the door, she moved quickly up the ladder, obviously, because she's super qualified, right? I mean, she went from, in 2003, she was the district attorney of San Francisco, failed the bar exam, of course. In 2010, she was the attorney general of California. In 2014, she was reelected as attorney general of California. In 2017, she became a senator in California. And in 2021, she became the vice president. And in 2025, she's going to become the president of the San Francisco Visitors Bureau, because that's about all she's qualified for after Donald Trump mops the floor with her. That is, if they don't murder him first or whatever. I don't know. It all feels very theatrical to me. It all just feels like, I feel like I want to flip ahead to see how the script ends, but we'll see. As Attorney General of California, I will remind you that she loved incarcerating black men, especially. She's a sellout, of course. She's not a black person, but she's a sellout. She panders to the minority communities, but she despises them. And when she had been caught, we'll get to that. We'll talk about that, about her keeping incarcerated people in prison longer, even though she knew they were innocent, in order to fulfill her needs, because her needs are way more important than a wrongly convicted man sitting in a California prison cell who may or may not be forced to join the Aryan Brotherhood to stay alive because Kamala Harris put some guy in prison on bullshit, right? She thinks she's African-American because she went to Howard University, which is an all-black college. And during her college experience, she claimed to smoke weed while listening to Tupac and Snoop, except that she was out of law school well before 1994. When Snoop and Tupac were releasing albums. She was out. She had been out of law school for years before that. So I'm confused, Kamala. How were you smoking pot in college while listening to Snoop Dogg when Snoop Dogg was still in high school? How? Was this magic? Were you channeling him? Did you get an advanced copy of an album that was going to come out 4 years later? Please explain to me, because I'm dying to know. Or are you a pandering liar? I'm going to go with pandering liar. I think there's more evidence to support that. She did, however, accidentally refer to Ruth Bader Ginsburg as Notorious B.I.G., which is fucking funny, instead of Notorious R.B.G., because she's whacked out on benzos, which is the reason why she slurs her words. When you hear Kamala Harris speak, first of all, I'm sorry you have to go through that, but when you examine it, you'll notice that she's like, if you took a video player, and you were able to slow down the tape speed to, instead of 100% speed, the normal speed, if you slowed it down to about 60, you know, 75, okay, 75% of the normal speed and kind of listen to or talk, that's benzodiazepines. She's whacked out on drugs. And I'll tell you what, you better hope that that's actually the thing. That's my observation. We'll put it there. I can't stake my reputation that Kamala Harris is on benzos, but I would place a bet on that because I have eyeballs and ears and I can hear her and I watch her speak. She doesn't make any sense. And I'm telling you right now, the best case scenario for Kamala Harris is that she's whacked out on benzos, because if she's not, then you have to address the very real possibility that she may be having a stroke every time she gets up on that stage, or that she is just brain damaged in some way, or that the lights confuse her or something. But she is exceptionally bad at speaking to the public. And I know that it's like a, you know, it's like up there with fears, right? Public speaking is like, it's like, public speaking number one and spiders number two or something like that, you know? So I get it that you don't want to but you're a politician. That's part of the job. You have to be better at speaking than that. This is Toastmasters. Go through the stuff that my old company did, which was media training. We would get athletes ready to be on camera in front of, or interviews with general managers and coaches and scouts, and get guys ready for transitioning into a life of broadcasting. If we can't fix Kamala Harris, nobody can. But I think that the problem is that on top of the drugs that she's clearly on, I think that what you're working with is just very low intellectual horsepower. You know, it's just, there's only so much you can do when you've got a small engine like that. There's only so fast you can go. And I think Kamala Harris is redlining it right now. You know what I mean? She's just at, this is all you can get from her. You cannot turn a Honda Accord into a Ferrari. I'm sorry. You just can't. And if I were, you know, and Kamala Harris is also deeply unpopular. This is a reminder that as a district attorney, she locked up over 2,000 black men on weed charges and then laughed about it as Tulsi Gabbard reminded her and snatched her soul out of her body on that debate stage. That's funny. Yeah. 2,000 black men locked up on weed charges, but she smokes pot while listening to Tupac songs and Snoop Dogg songs that haven't come out yet. Yeah. Okay. What a phony. I mean, if you're just an authoritarian anti-drug lunatic out there, be consistent, you know, be consistent. She received a total of zero delegates during the lead up to the 2020 campaign. Nobody likes her. Nobody wants her. Nobody in her own party wants her. They showed you by voting for the delegates that there's zero appetite for her, even within her party. There are other people that got votes. Like she got as many votes as a dead guy. Really? Like she's that not a dead guy in Illinois, though, because they resuscitate them and allow them to vote in elections, of course. But she got as many dead votes as a dead guy everywhere else, of course. She's unlikable. She brings nothing to the table. What are Kamala Harris's what is she running on? Let me ask you that. What's her policy plan? But what's a 2024 Kamala Harris wins the presidency, gets installed in January of 2025. What are your talking points? What are we focusing on? Turning everybody trans? Is that on the list? I know electric yellow school buses are coming, but besides that, what are your policy plans? Are you going to get involved in the Ukraine situation? because you're so good at foreign relations and diplomacy. I mean, people just love you. Are you going to solve the situation with China and Taiwan? How about what's going on in Israel? Are you going to get your Zionist husband to go over there and negotiate on your behalf while you claim to not want to meet with Bibi? What's going to happen there? What are you going to do with the university system that's falling apart and woke as hell and turning out functional retards from the system? What are you going to do? You're going to elevate it? My guess is that she probably will do whatever you think is the right thing to do. Kamala Harris will find a way to do it the wrong way. That's my assumption. And I don't even know what you would get with a Kamala Harris presidency. Except one thing is for sure, it wouldn't be her idea. Whatever was happening would be happening because the people behind her wanted it to happen, and she was the puppet. If ever there was, I mean, I thought Joe Biden was a perfect puppet, but Kamala Harris is just she's also one. She's just, you know, in act two of this puppet show, but she's coming out and you can see the strings attached because there's not a whole lot going on inside that big old head of hers. Have you seen the meme? This meme kills me. Every time I see it, I burst out laughing. It's the picture of Tom Cruise and he's laughing uncontrollably, but it's like from three different angles. And it's like three pictures of him all in one meme. And it's like when Kamala Harris gets to the middle of a sentence, it's so true. She laughs uncontrollably in the middle of sentences and seems to pontificate and ad-lib her speeches, more like mad-lib her speeches. It's word salad every afternoon for lunch with Kamala Harris. It's so fun to watch because she's embarrassing herself and she doesn't know it. But again, I'm all for the comedy aspect of this. And there's plenty to laugh at because this whole thing is just a total train wreck. But I also have to stop myself like before I get too far down that path and remind me, she could very well be the president. I mean, she has a non-zero chance of being the president. I think that Donald Trump, I mean, I think a lot of things, but I can't even believe these words are going to come out of my mouth. In a fair election, did Donald Trump has more support than her? Let's just put it that way. That's eyeball test, right? He's just got way more support than Kamala Harris. But we also recognize ... But we don't live in a world with fair elections, so anything is on the table. So as I'm goofing on Kamala Harris and I'm saying that she's the most unqualified, dumbest person in the history of politics, I also simultaneously recognize she could very well be the president. Not because she's qualified, not because people like her, but because they want her to be, and therefore mistake. I mean, she could get 82 million votes. If you want to start a civil war in the United States, not the one that Tim Pool has sort of been talking about, but I mean an actual one. One where the people just go, fuck this, I'm never paying taxes ever again. I'm not stopping at stoplights. I'm not doing it. The rules no longer apply to me. You wake up on the day after the elections and Kamala Harris has 82 million votes and Donald Trump loses. You will see a civil war. You will see riots. You will see mostly peaceful protests. And then we will have 4 years of listening to her pontificate about time and space and electric yellow school buses. Get ready for it. I mean, as a writer, I'll have too much source material. But as a human being having to deal with this, it'll be a really frustrating time. By the way, not for nothing, but her staff hates her. I'm going to wrap up with some of the statistics behind that. This is more than just me saying her staff hates her. We can assign numbers to it. She's super condescending and really mean to the staff, apparently. It's got to be tough. You get into politics and you think you're going to go work for some senator, right? You're going to work your way up. You're going to really do the important, you're some grunt working, shit jobs, but you're willing to do it because you think you're part of helping I almost said Hollywood, same thing, Washington, D.C. And then you get in and you get your job, your big break is that you're going to work in Kamala Harris's office as the vice president. And you get in there and you're just like, I think I've made a huge mistake with my aspirations here. She's a poor leader. She's a poor leader in her own. She can't even lead her own office, let alone the country. Right? She's failed at the southern border, her only task. And an interesting thing has been happening. I don't know if you've noticed that the talking points have gone out to the mainstream corporate whore press to tell the general public, the people, whoever's left reading their magazines, newspapers, and listening and watching their television shows, their dwindling audience. But the word has gone out to tell everybody that Kamala Harris was never the border czar. And it's happening all over the place. I watched Axios get absolutely kicked in the nuts for what the author, this author of an article came out and said, you know, did the whole actually Kamala Harris was never the border czar, and then got fact checked in the comment sections by about a million people that showed an article that that exact same journalist had written 3 years later calling Kamala Harris the border czar. Right. And they did this over and over and over again. Media outlets would come out and say she's not the border czar, and say, do that on social media and talk about how we're all delusional for calling her that. And it's a right wing talking point that Kamala Harris was ever the border czar. And then in the comment section will be article after article after video of the same news outlet calling her the border czar just a couple years earlier. So don't believe your lying eyes. We've always been at war with Eurasia. You know, that's the media for you. So I assure you, it's not as much as you think you hate the mainstream media. There's always room for more hate. They deserve more. They deserve everything that they're getting. Nobody cares about them. Nobody likes, they've lost their touch. They can't maintain the lies anymore. Their audiences are dwindling. They're all coming to us in the alternative media. Isn't that nice? So if you like this content, and you think that you've got a normie friend out there who's finally waking up to this nonsense, I would appreciate it if you'd send him some of the shows and just say, listen to this. Here's a different take on this stuff. Maybe you're into it. Maybe you're not. I don't know. But she was the border czar. Despite what the media says now, they can lie about it all they want. It's provable. That's her job. Joe Biden tasked her with fixing the border. Now, I think it's important to also reiterate this. We've talked about this before. With regard to sending her down there to do her job on the border, we have to get clear about what her job is at the border. Now, the assumption is that Joe Biden sent Kamala Harris to the southern border to stop the flow of immigrants, people coming across the border, and that she went down there and didn't really do anything about it, and therefore was a failure at her job. That's the assumption that we all make. That's what her because that's what her job should be. But here's the thing. Kamala Harris's job is not to close the southern border. Her job is to keep it wide open, because the Trilateral Commission, who's running this with Antony Blinken, Jake Sullivan, Susan Rice, and Obama behind the scenes, they want the southern border wide open. They have a plan for those people. Those people are going to come in, they're going to be registered, and somebody is going to vote on their behalf. We know that's going to happen. They just need to be here. They don't need to actually be speak English or do anything. The Democratic apparatus will take care of all of that. They'll make sure that those people vote in this election through mail-in ballots and all the fuckery that they use. I think it's funny that, like, I saw these memes that were like, boy, the Democrats are going to be pissed that they have to reprint, 82 million ballots with a different name on it, you know, after Kamala is in there. But that's what they do. There's a plan for these guys. They're military-age fighting men. We keep hearing that, right? So more than likely, we are importing future brown shirts into this country that are totally unaccounted for. They're getting court dates that are like 2032. It's like, we'll see you in March of 2032. And people are like, okay, I'll see you then in a decade or whatever. So it's a total clown show. So her only job was the border. Everyone that's watching the border recognizes that it's a failure, except for inside the White House. Inside the White House, it's a tremendous success because they've allowed 10 million people to come in and they're going to vote on their behalf. So to them, it's fantastic. But you know, listen, the southern border, that's 10 million reasons why Kamala Harris shouldn't be the president of the United States right there. She's being rewarded for her failures, as they all are. I mean, I will remind you that the two generals that 9/11 happened under their watch were promoted, Okay. So when you do the bidding of the empire, they promote you. And so when we look at the border situation, we go, how can you reward this failure, this clear failure at the border? The thing is, it's not a failure, not by their standards. It's a tremendous success. Kamala Harris was a tremendous success at the border, not because she's smart and not because she's gifted and not because she had a great strategy. She's a success at the border because she did nothing, which is the only thing that Kamala Harris is qualified to do. She co-sponsored, this is Kamala Harris's border policy in a nutshell. I want you to understand this. She co-sponsored a border wall bill when senator, and then when it came for a vote, she voted against it. She voted against her own bill for the border wall. Okay. That's Kamala Harris for you. That's all you really need to know. I said I was going to get into the incarcerated men. Of all of the things that she's done, you know, I mean, sucking your way to the top, whatever. I mean, that happens. Do what you got to do. I have no respect for you for doing that. I think you're unqualified, but I'm not going to act like Kamala Harris, you know, is the first one to get her knees dirty to break the glass ceiling. But what she did do, which was reprehensible, was keep innocent men incarcerated in California, even after prosecutorial misconduct. Her office's misconduct, after her office was found to be grossly incompetent, of course, because it's her office and she's incompetent, so why wouldn't the rest of the office by default be as well? She kept innocent men in prison. It led to the dismissal of hundreds of cases on her watch because she's so incompetent and her office was so poorly managed. Okay, and also she wants people in prison. She hates the people that she claims to be protecting and defending. It's evident by her actions. I mean, she'll say she loves you, but watch her actions. She refused to let them out of prison because she wanted to pay them a dollar an hour to fight forest fires in California. That's Kamala Harris for you, right? You're in prison. We have uncovered prosecutorial misconduct on the part of Kamala Harris's office. We're going to let all these people out, but she wouldn't let them out. And the reason why she wouldn't let them out was because she needed them to help fight the fires in California because she had practically free, forced labor through the prisons. Is that somebody that you would want to have in charge of as the commander-in-chief of the United States military? The way she thinks, oh, well, we could just send these useless, disposable soldiers out to go get zapped in Israel, Gaza. We're going to get them to go there. I mean, inconceivable that Kamala Harris would be the commander in chief of the United States military. There's no universe in which that should happen, but it might. The reason why Kamala Harris needed these incarcerated innocent men to fight fires from the prison is because Gavin Newsom, as governor of California, he cut the fire mitigation programs from the budget. He said, we don't need them. In California, a state where I lived for over 30 years, that every summer bursts into flames with wildfires in the mountains because of the undergrowth that could easily be taken care of if you installed maintained the fire mitigation programs, but Gavin got rid of them. We don't need them. We cut the budget for them. I guess they're still there, but they just cut the budget for them. Who cares? Who needs them? Oh, all you people are going to burn to death in here? Who cares? We're just geoengineering the weather, so we'll make it super dry. Then we'll chemtrail the shit out of an area, rain it down with barium and aluminum so the whole place is ready to go up in flames, and then we'll cut the budget on fire mitigation. But don't worry, Kamala Harris has a plan. She's going to use prisoners that are innocent that she's keeping in prison unjustly and use them at a dollar an hour to go fight the fires. Problem solved, everybody. That's California for you. That'll be the United States of America's decision-making process if Kamala Harris becomes the president of the United States. Okay. So she didn't have time to actually put real firefighters out there. She had to go to the prisons because she definitely had time to officiate the first gay wedding in California. Did you know that? Did you know that the officiant of the first gay wedding in California was Kamala Harris? That's because she's stunning and brave.
And she's an ally of the alphabet people, and she wants them all to be seen and heard and have space to explore what may be and what could have been, and to unburden themselves from racial chains and blah, 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 blah. It's just listening to her talk, I get dumber just hearing it. You know, I mean, you know how, like, if you've seen somebody whose golf swing is so bad that you don't want to watch it because you worry that maybe your golf swing will subconsciously turn out like if you ever watch Charles Barkley tee off, like, you cannot watch it. He's got a big hitch in his his golf swing is so bad it'll fuck up your golf swing. That's how I feel about Kamala Harris. She's so dumb that I feel like I'm getting dumb just by default, by osmosis, just by being near her. God, it's but it gets worse. It gets worse. You know, when she was the San Francisco district attorney, she sealed the files on pedophile priests so that their victims could not have access to it. Envision a scenario in which that comes across your desk and you get the final decision making say on it all. We have a bunch of pedophile priests, convicted, by the way. We're going to seal their files. The victims want to know more about what happened. They want to know what happened to them. Did they transfer them? Did they move them around? Did they incarcerate them? Did they, whatever, what'd they do? Chemically castrate? Like, tell me what they did to them. They won't tell you. Kamala Harris sealed the files. In her mind, protecting pedophile priests is more important than protecting the victims of pedophile priests. That's the, I mean, she won't say that, of course, but again, we're going back to actions. I don't care what Kamala Harris is saying she's going to do. What did she do? What did she do? She protected, when she had the opportunity to just do nothing, she chose to take action and seal the file. The files don't get sealed by default automatically. You have to say, I want those files sealed. So if she had done nothing, which she's pretty good at doing, then the files would have remained open and it would have been something that the victims could have accessed. She took action and made sure to seal them. Why? Who made you make that decision? Did you decide it was best to side with pedophile priests? Or did somebody above you tell you that you needed to do that? Because these people are installed, of course. And my guess is that, you know, she refused to share the files in 2005 and again in 2010. Who are you protecting, Kamala Harris? Who's above the pedophile priests that you're protecting by refusing to share the files on multiple occasions? I mean, if I didn't know any better, I'd think that you were siding with pedophiles. But that would make me a bigot for thinking that. The crime lab, run by the San Francisco Police Department under Kamala Harris's watch, was busted for employees stealing evidence such as cocaine. I mean, it was a banana republic. Every place that she goes, the office that she manages falls apart. It's stunning and brave. The crime lab technician was classified as, quote, undependable for testimony. But Kamala refused to do anything about it until the press started reporting on the situation. So, again, when you're the Attorney General of California, District Attorney of San Francisco, and you have a crime lab in San Francisco where you're based that was just busted, that had employees there who were testifying on behalf of the prosecution, saying we've run this through our lab and the results say this. And then based on those results, you're convicting people, hundreds of innocent people. This is the reason why all the cases got thrown out, because she had a crime lab with employees working there that were stealing the coke and taking it home and doing it. It's a clown world. And Kamala Harris is the ringleader. She's Team Israel, even though she says she's not. I think Bibi will probably make her get on her knees just so he can show her who runs the United States. I could see that happening. You say, kick everybody out of the White House here, Kamala. I want you to blow me in the Oval Office so that you know who runs this place. Oh, she's too stupid and useless to be a member of Bilderberg or be a World Economic Forum Young Global Leader. Normally, that's sort of like the barometer. You go, oh, well, I mean, if this person went to Bilderberg, like, we're going to have to keep an eye on them. Or they're a World Economic Forum Young Global Leader. You get to Kamala, and they're like, oh, interesting. She maybe she's not globalist, right? Maybe she's not. I don't see her on the records at any of these Bilderberg events, and she's not a World Economic Forum Young Global Leader, so maybe she's not team globalist. It's like, no. The reason why she's not in any of those groups is because they know she's too dumb to be a part of the group. She's not invited because she's worthless. They know it. What are you going to have Kamala Harris be in charge of? This is, I want you to understand, when it comes to foreign policy, this is what you're dealing with. Quote, this is Kamala Harris, quote, so Ukraine, I'm going to do it in her voice too, because you need to hear it. This is an actual speech, not one like that I made up. Again, I couldn't make this up. I couldn't be this funny if I tried to be this funny. Kamala Harris is naturally funny. So Ukraine is a country in Europe. It exists next to another country called Russia. Russia is a bigger country. Russia is a powerful country. Russia decided to invade a smaller country called Ukraine. So basically that's wrong. That's Kamala Harris. That's what she said in a speech. I swear to God, I'm not kidding. That's an actual quote from her speech. So when I say that she's too dumb to be a part of Bilderberg, I'm not kidding. Say what you want about the globalists. The globalists are coming to kill us. Yes, Alex, they are coming to kill us. But the puppets that they bring into that are devious psychopaths that know how to navigate and know how to get shit done. Kamala Harris doesn't get anything done. She's useless. Now, if she becomes the president of the United States, she may be useful for a variety of reasons, but it won't be because she's a great diplomat. She's not out here, you know, holding peace treaty summits and things like that. She's a intellectual foreign policy lightweight too. I mean, she's an imposter, of course. See, that's the thing. I know it and you know it. And in her heart, she knows it too. She's an imposter. She's unqualified for the job. Everybody is laughing at her because we all know it. And I think she knows it. And I think that's part of the reason why she's so uncomfortable is because she knows she shouldn't be there. She's unqualified. I mean, vice presidents are always a bit weird. Mike Pence and, you know, Dick Cheney was a straight up sociopath, and Dan Quayle's a bit weird. They're all a bit weird, right? Joe Biden. Joe Biden's weird too, you know what I mean? But they're all kind of broken, right? So she fits as a vice president whose job is to sit off to the side and don't say anything stupid. She has a hard time with that, but she's good at sitting off to the side and nobody expects much of her. You know what I mean? She's like, oh, like the kids who just aren't real bright and the teacher just like pats him on the head and like, oh, very good finger painting. Yeah. It looks just like a dog. Of course your mom's going to put it on the refrigerator. She'll be so proud. Jesus Christ. You know what I mean? Like this is the world according to Kamala Harris. She's just in over her head in every way that you can be. She wants you to free Jussie Smollett, right? Because he was targeted in a hate crime speech hoax. I mean, a hate crime attack, and he's very important. She's important. She stood with Jussie Smollett. I'm sure she thought Bubba Wallace was being unfairly targeted. I mean, she never saw somebody not get racially targeted that she didn't want to defend, right? Vivek called her low IQ. He's right. She's low IQ. A lot of people are low IQ. She's one of them. She just shouldn't be in a position like that, right? So that is, unfortunately, it's funny when he calls that. She supports reparations, so you know she's dumb, right? You're like, oh, we're going to pay everybody $5 million. You're like, oh, God, just shut up. Why are you even talking about these dumb ideas? We're California. We're going to lead the way in reparations. We're going to right the wrongs and do all this stuff. Oh, okay. So a state that never had slaves is going to pay people who never were slaves with tax money from people who never owned slaves. Great idea. Oh, by the way, is California solvent? No, they're totally bankrupt. Oh, well, then let's definitely pay $1 trillion in reparations. I mean, the ideas are so dumb that you have to ask, like, how did they get past the vetting process? Like, how do you even allow someone like this in a position of power to talk about this stuff? I mean, if you're talking seriously about reparations, like, you're a deeply unserious person. If you're breathlessly talking about how we've got to get reparations back here, you are an unserious person. Everything that you say should be dismissed. I mean, you're just a clown. You just want free shit like the rest of the left. They just want free shit. You know, but here's the problem for the Democrats. Nobody thinks she can beat Trump. Nobody. Everybody knows he's going to mop the floor with her, right? Barring some fuckery, which we always have to account for. But they've backed themselves into a DEI corner because you can't ditch the mocha-colored woman or everyone will call you a sexist bigot. You know, checkmate. They backed themselves into a corner where they have to go with Kamala Harris, right? So, I don't know. I want to read you, this is from her... I told you that she was having problems with her office. I said I would wrap up with this. 92% of Kamala Harris's staff has already turned over during her first 3 years as the vice president. That number is staggering. Out of the 47 people that started in the Kamala Harris administration, you know how many people are left? Four. Out of 47, 43 other people decided that anywhere else was better to be than working for Kamala Harris. 24 people have left just in the last year. 24 out of 47. That's half. Half the staff has gone in just the last year. This is a quote from Dan McLaughlin, National Review. This is funny. Quote, working for Harris is a nightmare, not just because she rides her staff hard, but also because she does so without the competence, decisiveness, and effectiveness that inspires people in politics to suffer under demanding bosses. People really, really do not want to work for Kamala Harris. Well, I was told she was stunning and brave and a fantastic candidate that everybody likes, right? She's a beige Hillary Clinton. Nobody likes Hillary Clinton either. She's the thing about both of these women, and it goes for a lot of politicians too, but I'm particularly when it comes to Kamala Harris and Hillary Clinton, there is a sense of inauthenticity about these people. Like you hear them speak and you watch them talk and you watch them interact with other people, and you can tell just by watching them that they're lacking in any sort of substance. Like there's no connection. The people that you can almost sort of tell that they hate the people that they're talking to. Especially with Hillary Clinton. She despises people. Have you seen that picture? It's turned into like a great meme of like Hillary Clinton's like the look on her face. She walks, she's apparently entering somebody. I guess they've invited her into some apartment and she's walking in and she's looking towards the camera, like looking in the direction of the kitchen. And it's like a kitchen that's got like plants in the sink that are like filling up these plants with water in the sink. And it's just like a normal person's like a person of modest incomes kitchen. And the look on her face is like, what? Like, what is this? Like, I've never seen a situation like this. It's like, this is how most people live. The look on her face is priceless. But it's a lack of authenticity. They just don't have it. Kamala Harris seems fake and phony, and you're not really sure what's going on. If during a press conference, she reached in and pulled the mask off and we saw that there was somebody else underneath the Kamala Harris mask, I wouldn't be the slightest bit surprised. I'd only be surprised that they showed us. But she looks sometimes like she's wearing a mask. I'm just saying, Joe Biden is the Joe Biden character that is out there is definitely not Joe Biden. Again, just look at the pictures. Something wrong with Kamala too. I mean, there's a lot wrong with Kamala. I'm like, I just noticed that there's something wrong with Kamala. Let me rephrase that. There's plenty wrong with Kamala, but there's an additional thing that I just noticed is wrong with Kamala. She might be wearing a mask. I'm just saying. I've watched Mission Impossible. I know what the masks look like, right? So what happens? Where do we go with this stuff? All right. Listen, things are going to be fluid in the future. I'm pre-recording this, so for all I know, like, you know, things could change by the time you hear this, but it doesn't, but the past doesn't change. The future might change. Like, what the future plans are, you might hear this and things might have changed. So I think that, you know, the future might be fluid for what they have, gender fluid for what they have for Kamala. But the past is set in stone. And she can't escape that no matter how hard she tries. I know she would love to. But, you know, maybe they make her president and then kill Biden off. Then she loses to Trump in November and gets left holding the bag when they take the bag. The economy's coming down. If Kamala loses and Trump wins, then they'll just saddle Trump with the economic collapse. If Kamala wins and Trump loses, then, you know, business will continue as normal, I guess. One thing is certain. Kamala Harris will remain unburdened by what was and what could have been. If you liked this episode, you can take the additional step right now of sharing it with your friends and family. If you think we've done a good job, please rate the show and give us 5 stars. The website, macroaggressions.io. Thanks, everybody. Talk to you again soon.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of U.S. soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
This podcast is supported by The RealReal. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The RealReal.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The RealReal? Game changer. I earn more, and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell. Fast. To our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The RealReal than anywhere else.
Exactly. This? That's the sound of your closet working for you. The RealReal. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of U.S. soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.